Lord, as we come to look at your word this morning, speak to us of your truth, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In these Sundays leading up to Lent, we have a sermon series exploring the five foundational themes that underpin the Reformation. So far, we've looked at Scripture alone, it being God's word to us. Last week, Anthony spoke about Christ alone, and if you missed it, you can listen to it on the church website. He spoke about Jesus, the bread of life, who alone can nourish, sustain us through his death and resurrection. And today we look at by grace alone. And we're going to look together at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, on page 1174. In these verses, we have probably the best biblical summary of the gospel. And if you're the sort of person who likes a structure to a sermon, then the passage speaks of, firstly, why we need rescuing, secondly, how we are rescued, and thirdly, what we are rescued for or to do. So firstly, Paul speaks out why we need rescuing, verses 1 to 3. As for you, you were dead in your trespasses or transgressions and sins. The Greek word that Paul uses for transgression or trespasses literally means a slip, a fall, and is used of someone losing the way and straying from the right road. And the Greek word Paul uses for sin is hamartia, which is a shooting word and literally means a miss. Sin is missing the target of what God desires for us. It's expressed like this in the confession in the Book of Common Prayer morning service. We have erred and strayed from thy way like lost sheep. We have followed too much to the devices and desires of our own hearts. We've left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. And in this communion service, we will later pray, we acknowledge and bewail our manifold sins and wickedness. Sin is serious, for it cuts us off from God who is holy. Sin is, of course, murder and theft, but it's also unbelief, pride, or the words spoken intended to wound or put down, unforgiveness, failure to care for the world God has entrusted to us. And this is why Paul wrote to the Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul also speaks of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And this is a way of referring to and talking about Satan, who likes nothing more than causing dissension, is cunning, luring us away from the truth. Sin spoils our relationship with God, deserving his judgment. Paul says we're dead in your transgression and sin. But Paul shares in verses 4 to 9 that God comes to our rescue. Why is that? Well, verse 4, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, to be raised to sit with him in the heavenly realms. What a great assurance that is. God, through the death of Jesus for our sin, has on the cross shown his love and mercy, pulling us out of the grave we dig for ourselves through our failure to live in the way he intended, and are released from the tangles of the deathly cords and set on a solid foundation. But Paul is clear, this is not because of our own efforts, for he reminds us in verses 6 and 8, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Imagine for a moment it was by our works. What would we have to do? We would be wondering all the time if we'd done enough. Had we shown enough kindness, gone to church enough, given enough to charity, said enough prayers? No, it's not what we do which saves us, but by faith, accepting what God in Christ has done for us. It is His gift which in humility and thankfulness we need to receive. Because it's not our works which earn us God's favour, therefore we have nothing to boast about. If we are to boast, it is, as Paul reminds the Corinthians, to boast in the Lord. These will be familiar words by John Newton. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. It is by grace we are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You perhaps know the phrase, taking each of the letters of the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. And to grasp that truth is liberating, as we delight in the knowledge we are forgiven, saved, loved, and are precious to God. It's all gift from a generous, gracious God. It's His grace. So it's not our works which saves us, Paul clearly states. But does he contradict himself when he says in verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works"? Not at all, for his point is having been saved, then the outworking of our lives, and we are God's workmanship, should be in good works, or perhaps to rephrase, in holy service he has planned for us. We, through the working of God's Holy Spirit within, having experienced God's grace and love shown to us, are to look to show that love and grace to others in our caring, forgiving, in how we speak to and about others, in our use of money. How might we be open through this week to where we might express God's grace to someone as we recall His grace shown to us? Paul says, "It is by grace alone you are saved by faith. It's not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works." I encourage you to remember and reflect on those words when later we come to communion and hold our empty hands to receive bread and wine, reminding us that Jesus laid down His life for us, and in return to offer ourselves afresh in His service. It is by grace you are saved through faith.